The work of this church in the world is realized through the generous financial support of all who call this place home. Along with the gifts and time and talent, ours is a shared ministry. You have a role to play here. Church membership is open to all. For more information, go to uusf.org.
Because the stone is so important to today's ritual, I want to make sure everyone was offered one when they came in. If you did not get one or you don't have one, please raise your hand, and if our ushers can bring stones forward to those that don't have one, that would be lovely. We have a couple people with their hands raised. They're getting the stones. Just a second. And if you're at home and you'd like to get a stone and have it with you during this time, please feel free to do that as well. There's someone right over here that needs a stone. Anyone else? And there's one right over here too, as well as over here and here. So maybe just make a round around the whole sanctuary. Went up here. And as we're passing out those stones, one here. And another one over here on this side over here. Oh, you've got one? Never mind. We're good. Thank you, Les. Oh, maybe there is somebody. I also want to say, with all that is going on in our world right now, you may not be in a place to forgive and repair. You may be in the place, as Desmond Tutu said in our reading, the prayer before the prayer of forgiveness. And that is okay. Like anything we do here, you have the ability to decide how you want to participate. Reverend Leslie Takahashi writes, "We return again and again to the season of forgiveness. And each time we come bearing gifts, a grudge to relinquish, a hatred to extinguish, a hope that has bloated and distorted, a glancing word that has wounded. Each time we walk the road toward forgiveness, we mutter, 'We have been here before.' When will we remember that forgiveness is not so much an act as an attitude, not so much a duty as a love we give ourselves as part of the ever-unfolding new beginning?" We return again and again to the season of forgiveness, and each time we walk the road, we mutter to ourselves, "We have been here before. We have been here before." Because the thing about forgiveness is it's a process of healing, and with all healing, it takes time. An initial hurt might be healed, but the scar is still there and can still be felt and seen. A scar is a visible reminder of that healed hurt, and it can still catch us, even if we feel we have moved past it. This past October, Jewish people observed Yom Kippur, which is when Jewish people look for reconciliation between each other and with God. 10 days before Yom Kippur, it is custom and Jewish tradition to look back over the past year and make amends with those you have offended by seeking forgiveness. Yom Kippur itself is the day to seek forgiveness from God for any vows that may have been broken. By admitting your wrongs and taking responsibility for making them, by making amends, you are brought closer to God. And it's humbling to come face to face with our own imperfections, our own humanity. It is even more humbling to admit those imperfections to each other and ask to be forgiven. And yet, it is important to stop every once in a while and occasionally take stock of ourselves and our actions. Because folks, we are human. And in that human condition, we are beautifully imperfect. In our story today, we had a town full of people unable to stand fully upright due to the burdens of their resentment and hurt. Not only their own burdens, but burdens from generations. And this is how it is when we hold a burden of anger, resentment, hatred, or hurt. The bitterness stays within us and festers, creating its own wound in our soul. And it would be easy just to ignore it and forget where there was harm, where we have been vulnerable. But it's good. It feels so righteous. It feels so justified to hold on to those grudges sometimes. So good. And that's why I share this following excerpt every year that I do this ritual, because I think it's an important reminder for us. In Forgive for Good, A Proven Prescription for Health and Happiness, psychologist Fred Luskin writes, in careful scientific studies, forgiveness training has been shown to reduce depression, increase hopefulness, decrease anger, improve spiritual connection, and increase emotional self-confidence. He continues, hanging on to anger and resentment, living in a constant state of stress, can damage the heart as well as the soul. In fact, research has shown that failure to forgive may be a risk factor for heart disease, high blood pressure, and a score of other chronic stress-related illnesses. Medical and psychological studies have also shown that a person holding onto anger and resentment is at an increased risk for anxiety, depression, insomnia, and is more likely to suffer from high blood pressure, ulcers, migraines, backaches, heartache, and even cancer. And the reverse is also true. Genuine forgiveness can transform these ailments. In other words, we may feel justified, but we are not healthy in that justification. Forgiveness offers us a chance to let go and start to heal. Forgiveness allows us to let go of the power another has over us. And I'm talking only of our internal process of letting go, the one that drags down our soul, burdens our heart, and eats at our spirit. Maya Angelou reminds us, forgiveness is the greatest gift you can give yourself. It's not for the other person. And I want to be really clear. I am not talking about reconciliation, which is the reparation of the relationship between the person being harmed and the person or persons who harmed. This is done through mutual agreement of the two or more people and done over time. And sometimes it's not able to be done, nor is it safe to do so. You can forgive without reconciling. Sometimes we are meant to offer forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Sometimes we are meant to offer forgiveness for those who we have wronged. And sometimes we need to forgive ourselves for actions we have taken that caused our self-harm. And just as Carmen shared in her reflection, our awareness of history and ancestors grow, we have the burden of generational harm, societal harm, and racial harm. This is time to offer forgiveness and healing for those actions, for those ancestors, and to make amends for the past as well as the present harms done. Examining the places where we continue to hold grudges or support systems of oppression and releasing them so the work of dismantling can be done. In the book of Forgiving, The Fourfold Path of Healing Ourselves and Our World by Archbishop Desmond Tutu and his daughter, Imphu Tutu, they remind us of the following, quote, when we forgive, we take back control of our own fate and our feelings. We become our own liberators. We don't forgive to help the other person. We don't forgive for others. We forgive for ourselves. Forgiveness, in other words, is the best form of self-interest. This is both true spiritually and scientifically. They continue, the reasons for forgiving ourselves are the same as forgiving others. It is how we become free of the past. It is how we heal and grow. It is how we make meaning out of our suffering, restore our self-esteem, and tell a new story of who we are. If forgiving others leads to external peace, forgiving ourselves leads to internal peace. End quote. So your rock, I invite you to put it into your hand. Your hand might be drawn to the smooth places, but I want you to also feel the jagged and sharp edges. Feel the pits and cracks that may be easy to miss with the naked eye. Feel its balance or weight, or its lack of balance or weight. Thich Nhat Hanh invites us to imagine a pebble thrown into a river as it sinks through the water effortlessly, detached from everything. It finally reaches the bottom, the point of perfect rest. We must be that people letting go of our grudges so that we can land at perfect rest. So as you feel your stone, find those places of perfect rest. And as you encounter them, reflect on where you're holding on to anger, resentment, hatred, fear, bitterness. Let them find a resting place in your stone. Reflect on people in your life who have harmed you, and knowing there is still a decision on whether you will be in relationship with them or even consider reconciling, I invite you to let the emotions you are holding about the harm finding a resting place in your stone, even if it's temporary. Bring to mind the people in your life you have harmed, knowing there is still repair work to do. Find a place of rest for the guilt or the shame you carry about the harm in your stone. Think of the times you've been angry with yourself and held on to shame or bitterness for what you should have done. And listen to your own heart and find the places you can let go of them and let them find a place of rest in your stone. Bring to mind any ancestors whose actions have harmed. Let them find forgiveness for their actions through your actions, your healing. Where you found places of harm in our society, offer forgiveness through your actions of repair so they may heal. Just for this moment, let each of these places where forgiveness is possible find a resting place in the stone in your hand. Let them go from your heart, your soul, and your spirit to reside in a piece of earth. Feel the weight of them in the stone and no longer on your person. This bowl symbolizes our sacred space, a space where we can share our true human condition of being beautifully imperfect, with a need to forgive and be forgiven. I will pour some of the water that we have collected from our water communion as a way to acknowledge this human condition as carried in our community with love. As you feel moved to do so, and when you are ready to let go, I invite you forward to place your stone in the bowl. And as you feel your burden lift, if even for a moment, I invite you to say, "I begin again in love."
If you are not ready to let go of your stone, or you're at home, listen to your heart. When you're ready to set that stone down, find a place of beauty, of care, and let it rest in its perfect place. If you need somebody to gather your stone, let us know and we'll come to you. You may bring your stones forward, place them in the bowl, and as you're ready, say, I begin again in love.
Thank you.
Reverend Dr. Rebecca Parker reminds us, even when our hearts are broken by our own failure or the failure of others cutting into our lives, even when all we have done and life is still broken, there is a universal love that has never broken faith with us and never will. After service today, I will take this bowl and find a resting place in our courtyard for our stones so they may be held in our community going forward.
When Laura invited me to write about when I have struggled to forgive or how I forgave someone, it was only a few days after the election results, and I thought, well, folks, I'm in that. Forgive or don't forgive. It's the struggle right now, and it has been for decades. I did contemplate writing about experiences of forgiveness in relational rifts or actions I've done that weren't my best self, or things I've said that were hurtful and times that I said I was sorry. I remembered going to church to go to confession as a child in our little Catholic church. I'd enter the confessional, kneel before the priest who was behind a little screen, and say, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 3 weeks or 3 months since my last confession." And I'd proceed to tell him the naughty things I had done or said and leave with instant absolution and my list of Our Fathers and Hail Marys to say, "All good now, till the next time." But with Laura's question, the one that came to mind in light of the elections wasn't so simple. The memory was from 1992, and I was living in Nicaragua. Nicaragua was and still is the second poorest country in the Southern Hemisphere. Nicaragua, like many countries, was impoverished and continues to be by years of exploitation, occupation, and oppression by the US and other countries. What came to mind was the moment when I recognized who I am, my family, my ancestors. We were gathered at a retreat center outside of Managua with other North Americans who formed an ecumenical group living and working in Nicaragua. We had come together for a time of study and conversation around the 500 years of Columbus's invasion of the Americas. As I read and reflected and participated in the conversations, there suddenly became a moment when it hit me. It was visceral, smack, a bit like Paul being knocked to the ground. What do I do? I wanted to rip my clothing and put on sackcloth and ashes, and that's no exaggeration. I and my ancestors are white Europeans, mostly settled in Minnesota. My family has a cabin on Mille Lacs Lake, adjacent to the reservation of the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. We live and vacation on stolen lands. Now what? What does this recognition mean? How do I help my own family see and understand? How do I or anyone ask for forgiveness for such harms and the continual harms? How do we correct this? And now, look where we are. I wish it were as simple as kneeling in a confessional and telling Father how long it has been since my last confession, revealing to him my transgressions and kneeling in the pew afterwards to recite my 10 Our Fathers and Hail Marys and walk out of church with a clean slate. But it's not. I can't just say I am sorry, say my prayers, and think that the work that I do makes up for the centuries of sins and transgressions of my ancestors and their ancestors, of the Catholic Church and the many religious institutions of the past and present. So often in the days leading up to the elections, I was tempted to post on Facebook, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." But I never did, because 532 years later, they do know what they are doing. These aren't unprecedented times. And the struggle continues. Do I have the right to ask for forgiveness? Do I want to be forgiven? Maya Angelou said, "Forgive yourself for not knowing what you didn't know before you learned it." Maybe so. But with such forgiveness comes responsibility and commitment to go forth and sin no more, because I have learned and must continue to do so.